Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we understand that finances can be confusing, but you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I am joined today by George Amador III. Hey, G, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Crystal. Really excited to continue this topic of taxes this month, and I know taxes, oh my gosh, turn it off. But really, we're really excited because we're getting into kind of the nitty-gritty of what do I need to bring to my tax repair? What does a tax document even look like, or a tax return? How does it work? How does it flow? Mm-hmm. What are some of the tools and resources that we can use? I really liked last week where we talked about, hey, do I even need a tax repair or not? Like, how do I know what to do? Mm-hmm. And so as we kind of continue the conversation this week, I thought it would be good. We can dive into kind of getting prepared and what does that look like and what does a tax return even look like?
I agree. And what I'd like to do is just do a quick review for those who maybe didn't see our YouTube channel for last week or didn't listen on the radio. Let's go back just really quick and hit. What are the four things that they need to ask themselves whether I should do taxes myself or hire someone? I'll do the first one because the first one I thought just was perfect, which is, do you want the liability? A lot of people are scared that if they put their name down there, what would happen to them? So you talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah, exactly. So tax preparer is liable for what's on the tax return. Now, again, you can't lie to your
that's
tax preparer.
That's what we said last week.
But at the end of the day, if you're unsure, don't want that liability, that's a great reason to hire a tax preparer. The type of income you get. So if you're a W-2 kind of standard employee, or if you're a contractor, a 1099 type of employee, your residency or citizenship is important. If you move around a lot, you have different states you have to file, definitely a big reason to have it prepare. And then lastly, confidence. If you're filling out that information and don't know, hey, is this right or wrong, that's a good reason to have one too.
Right. And I do want to clarify before we jump right into the meat of our program, we're not trying to be a tax preparer here.
No.
As a certified financial planner, yes, we went through training and yes, we understand how taxes work, but we are not saying we are a CPA or are we going to do their taxes? So we clarified that last week. I think we should clarify that every week while we're doing taxes. We want to help you. And that's why we have that tax and retirement transition plan.
Correct.
Because we are familiar with helping give counsel in regards to taxes and making sure that they put everything in place properly. But we don't want to take the place of a CPA. We love working in conjunction with a CPA.
Yes, we love our CPAs.
Yes,
absolutely.
We do.
And we don't want to take anything away. In fact, when we can work with a CPA, it's actually the best of both worlds. And so, yes, we are definitely proponents of tax preparers and CPAs, and we are not giving tax advice on this program, nor are we saying we're better off than they are by any means.
Absolutely.
We want to come alongside you and your CPA and help provide the planning.
Okay, so for those of you who are listening by radio or watching us on YouTube, however you're finding us, grab your pen, grab your paper, because, gee, what I'd like you to do is walk through, because what if you have decided, you listened last week and said, okay, I need someone else to do my taxes. What in the world do they need to bring? And I know to you, you're already saying everybody would know this, but in reality, not everybody knows.
Sure.
So let's go through that list of all the things that we can think of that they can bring when they're sitting down to do their taxes.
For sure. So, you know, the big thing that we're going to bring for to a tax preparer is tax documents. Now, what does that actually mean, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of different tax documents that are out there. And at the end of the day, we're all getting them right now in terms of just, you know, it's February, March. It's like, okay, here's all of my tax documents, whether it's 1099 forms from custodians. So if you have investments at TD Ameritrade or Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Merrill Lynch, whoever, right, you get 1099 forms. Those are tax documents. You have to bring those to a preparer. Your income statements. So if you are a W-2 employee, you want to bring your W-2s, obviously, to a tax preparer as well. And then if you're contracted, right? If you're contracted and you got a 1099, you want to bring the 1099. If you're self-employed, you want to bring receipts to your tax preparer. That's really big. So if you own your own business or you're, you know, self-employed contractor. Also, this is a big one lately. If you're an Uber or Lyft driver, you're self-employed. So you bring those gas receipts and you bring all that stuff. As an Uber driver, you can file under that self-employed column to be able to help offset your taxes. So receipts are important. I think of other tax documents like property tax documents, right? You want to bring those. You want to bring the mortgage interest receipt so you can get that information. How much did you pay in mortgage interest this year? Bring that in. Another big one is charitable giving.
Yes.
So churches and organizations give how much you gave for the year. I always like to just double check those. I mean, I'm a finance guy, obviously, so I keep my own Excel file of charitable giving, but you should try to go back and just double check that all those numbers are correct to have those as well. And then things that change. So changes in your situation. We talked a little bit about this before. Maybe we need somebody, but you know, if you got married this year and you moved, right? And there's maybe moving, sometimes moving receipts can be used. It depends. You know, things like that. If you change states, right? And there's, you want to make sure you're bringing anything over that is needed from whether it's work and hey, now work, I was paying New York state taxes and now I'm paying Massachusetts state taxes. Like there's documents that you need to bring there. And then things like contributions that are important to know. So, you know, if you made contributions to an IRA this year, if you made contributions to an HSA outside of employment, that's important too. So there's a lot of different things out there, but I would say the big ones, you know, bring all of your receipts, bring all of your charitable giving, bring all of your, you know, your W-2, your 1099. And honestly, if you're going to go to a tax preparer, nine times out of 10, probably 9.9 times out of 10, there's a list that they're going to give you that says, hey, bring me all of this stuff.
Well, I know one of the things that we do at Crystal Clear Finances is we get a hold of our clients and say, hey, your tax forms are ready. They're on TD Ameritrade or wherever it is that it is so that they can have it. And when we're doing our annual reviews, as soon as you know we have it available in January, we're saying, do you need us to print this out for you so they can be prepared going in?
Yes.
And we also keep a list because we have a lot of clients that did Roth conversions that had money that was in an IRA. They were kind of concerned where things might go in 2021. And so they said, let me get money from my IRA and move it over into my Roth so I don't have to pay taxes on it in the future. But now they have to pay taxes on it. If they didn't have it withheld, they got to pay taxes on it.
Correct. So your Roth conversion is a taxable event. And there's forms that you need to have on file. Now, a tax preparer will tell you what these forms are. I'll go ahead and tell you what the forms are too. but basically, the biggest thing, honestly, if you did a Roth conversion this year, the number one thing you have to know is you should be filling out a form 8606. Your tax preparer can tell you exactly what that is. And if you're self-filing, that's something that should be popping up if you've said, hey, I did Roth conversions on the softwares and stuff. But just so you know, that form is really important. Not to get into all the details of what it is. It's a way for you to tell the IRS, hey, I converted money. So that way, if you ever convert money again, you're not going to repay taxes on something you paid before. So it's a good reporting. You need that form 8606. So Roth conversions are another big one you should think about.
And I know this past year, going back to 2020, we did a lot, I should say, you did a lot of tax calculations for the clients because we had clients coming in saying, how much should we have withheld on our taxes? Just a side note on a lot of the tax planning that we do in our office. The other thing you had said is bringing receipts to the tax preparer. So we are not encouraging that there be this big shoebox of unorganized. Well, our CPAs may be calling us and saying, don't tell them that. But I know that, you know, you can start looking into software like QuickBooks or different ones where you can begin to have everything itemized so that you can print that out and say, here's where my expenses are. Just be prepared that you're going to have to back that up if you were ever audited.
Yeah, the biggest thing on the taxes is at the end of the day, if there was some form of an audit, you just have to always what's called substantiate your claim. You have to prove it. And so you just need to make sure that, hey, if I'm taking this charitable deduction and the IRS says prove it, you better be able to prove it. So we need those receipts on hand and you should keep them for minimum 3 years, by the way. The IRS, just for people to know out there, is about 3 years behind, meaning that they're reviewing three-year-old tax returns right now. So you need to keep that stuff on hand for a little while just so you have it. But at the end of the day, we don't need to not everything you bought has to be brought to your tax preparer, but those self-employed individuals, because there are a lot of business expenses and you need to prove those expenses and those receipts are used for that. Or if you're an Uber driver and you bought gas while you're going around for Uber, like that's a big one that you need to keep to bring to a tax repair.
And I would say I'd rather be safe than sorry and bring a little bit too much when you're going in than say, oops, I have that at home on my kitchen counter. So
yeah, exactly. No, that's good, because that's a big thing. Like, so getting prepared, getting your house in order, you know, there's a lot of different things. There's checklists online, or again, talk to your tax preparer and say, hey, what do I need this year? Especially if you're going to a new guy, what do I need this year so that way I have everything?
Okay, so now where I want to go, I want to shift a little bit. Let's take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to spend the rest of this time talking about the 1040 flow. Like, how in the world do I even read my tax return? Like, why should I even know how to read my tax return? So we're going to talk about that. We'll be back in just 60 seconds.
Business owners need certified financial planners who understand how growing a business really works. Financial planners who can provide guidance on business structure, taxes, retirement planning, and business succession. Financial planners who believe that investing in your own company instead of just the stock market is actually okay. My name is Crystal Langdon of Crystal Clear Finances, and as a certified financial planner, certified business coach, and the owner of my own company, I understand what it takes to build an idea into a successful organization, employing team members and impacting thousands of lives. As we transition into 2021, our economy, how we do business, and the needs of our neighbors are changing. Now more than ever, we need godly, successful business owners to grab hold of their visions, implement proven systems for growth, and bring their business to maturity. If you believe business ownership is right for you, or if you currently run a business and need a certified financial planner who also happens to be a certified business coach, then give us a call at 518-433-7181 or contact us at crystalclearfinances.com.
And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is George Amador, and as always, joined by the lovely Crystal Langdon. And today we are talking about taxes. Before the break, we talked all about what do I need to bring to a preparer, get my kind of house in order to get started. And now what we really want to do is focus a little bit on the actual tax return. Dun, 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 right?
I know.
So, and again,
drum roll, please.
As I preface this, I am not a CPA, nor am I giving tax advice. However, we do understand how a tax return flows. And if you understand how a tax return flows, it helps understand how money works. It helps understand where you are in your financial situation. And so this is important. And I think, you know, you and I are all about education, right? We talk about this a lot. We want to educate our clients and those listening on how money works. And your tax form is a huge, giant, this is how my money worked this year, government. So you should know how it works too.
Right. It all goes back to having that confidence.
Absolutely. So in talking through a 1040, and by the way, the 1040 is the tax form you file as a United States tax resident or United States citizen. You're filing a form 1040. So we'll just kind of start there. So whether you're on TurboTax or online or someone else is doing it for you, this is the form you're filling out. And there's kind of a flow. Now, I'm not going through every single line item,
nor
am I going through all of the ins and outs and the caveats, because I can just see the, well, you forgot about this little, we're not going there, right? We're literally,
big picture,
you know, 30,000 foot view of the tax return. What does it actually look like? So when we start with our 1040, we start with our income, right? We get paid our gross income. This is the money that is either on your W-2 or on your 1099s, and you're putting this in here. Now, there's a lot to income, right? Income is not just, hey, I make X amount of dollars. This is my wages. This is my salaries. This is tips if I'm in that industry. Other income that is very common in there is interest income. So if you have accounts that pay you interest, sometimes that's taxable. If you have accounts, stock accounts that pay you dividends, that's income to you too. If you're retired and you're taking IRA distributions, 401k distributions, your pension goes in here as well. Social Security goes in here too. Now, Social Security is not 100% taxable to you. However, there is a portion of Social Security that can be taxable, believe it or not. And so you do have to report the Social Security benefits you received for the year.
True.
Other types of income, the other big one is capital gains, right? So if I have any, if I bought a stock and then sold it this year and I have a gain in that stock, I have to report that.
Mm-hmm.
You do have to report cryptocurrencies for those of you out there who I had somebody ask me that question literally a couple days ago. What about my cryptos? If you made a gain and you sold the cryptos and actually made some money, then yes, you have to report that.
And
as
I like
well.
That you qualified that. So it's not just that you have it, it's that you sold it and made a gain. That's when we're counting that as income.
Correct. So at the end of the day, capital gains, not to get too heavy into this right now,
right.
but capital gains are when you realize the gain.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put money into a stock account, make $1 million, but never sell my investment. I'm not paying taxes on it until I sell my investment.
Right.
Once I realize the gain,
mm-hmm.
then at that point in time, I can go ahead and I would then pay
taxes
on the gain.
Yep.
So that's kind of piece number one to the income. So we have our income, right? That's what we consider to be our gross income.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have adjustments to that income, which can either be positive or negative. So on the capital gains train that we're on right now,
mm-hmm.
If I have gains that I have to report as income. Sometimes I have losses that if I've realized the loss,
mm-hmm.
I can take that loss to help offset my gains.
Yes.
And so that's an adjustment to your income where now if I have, you know, $10,000 in gains in a stock and I sold it and I realized it, but I had $20,000 in losses,
mm-hmm.
I don't get to take a negative $10,000 loss. However, I can offset my gains with my losses plus a little bit more. Again, not mm-hmm. getting too
right,
specific
right.
here, but that's something that is also available as well. So that's a big one. That's an adjustment. Another couple that are important that are adjustments to income are tax refunds. Believe it or not, tax refunds have to be included mm-hmm. on your return, state and local refunds. Alimony received, that's
mm-hmm.
another one that is common. This is where also adjustments can be things like if you made a deductible contribution to your IRA,
mm-hmm.
to your HSA. For you teachers that are out there, some unreimbursed, if they're unreimbursed from your employer,
mm-hmm.
educator expenses, there's a
right.
whole list of them. Those can sometimes be used as well to help offset the income. So adjustments, and then since I said alimony received, which is true, alimony paid
right.
Is the other one on the other side. So I'm trying to cover all my
right,
bases
right,
here.
Right.
But at the end of the day, there's adjustments. So you don't just take your gross income and call it a day. You then take any additional income that is in there, and then you take any adjustments plus or minus. And the reason why I harp so hard on this is because that gets us to what's called our adjusted gross income. The reason why that's important, that AGI or adjusted gross income, is used often to determine a lot of things in the tax
mm-hmm.
world. As financial planners, we need to know what that number
Absolutely.
Is. And this is why we work closely with CPAs, because we need to determine, can you contribute to things like a Roth IRA? That's a big one. Or a traditional IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Are there certain things that you can and can't qualify for based on what your income limitation is? There's deductions that you can qualify for if your AGI is low enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's tax credits you can qualify for if your AGI is low enough. So there's a lot of different pieces that number, that AGI, that adjusted gross income,
that's
is
what we're
used
for.
Yep, so we need to know that. Now, from AGI, once we determine what that is, so we have our income, we have our adjustments to income, which equals AGI.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have deductions. And I want to talk a little bit here for a moment, because this is where you get into what's a write-off, what's a deduction,
yeah.
what's a credit, how does this all work, right? And so
itemize, take the standard, like all those.
Correct. So really where it comes down to is in its simplest form, there's basically two types of tax deductions. You're going to take one of the two. There's the standard deduction
mm-hmm.
that the IRS is so kind and gives all of us U.S. taxpayers a standard deduction.
Mm-hmm.
That depends on your filing status. Am I filing single? Am I filing married? Am I filing head of my house? Am I filing married, filing separate? There's different filing statuses. Again, we're not making that determination.
No.
Your tax preparer is. But because of the way you file, will determine your standard deduction.
Correct.
Now, there's a bunch of other deductions that are out there. And what I always tell people, the easiest way to know what those other deductions are what are called itemized deductions. Mm-hmm. And you can do this right online. If you're watching on YouTube, you pull another tab up, literally Google 1040 Schedule A. A is an apple. So our radio listeners, go home and check this out after. But Schedule A is a list of itemized deductions. So it's things like medical and dental expenses that are unreimbursed from your employer.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes you paid, like state income tax, property taxes on there. Interest you paid, so mortgage interest is another one. Charitable contributions, and there's a list of others that are out there that can potentially be in mm-hmm. there too. But you basically look at all of those and say, okay, are my itemized deductions more or less than my standard deduction that the IRS is giving me? And again, because Uncle Sam is so nice to us, we get to take the higher of the two.
Right.
So if my standard deduction is, let's call it $12,000, a little bit more, but if it's $12,000, and my itemized deductions for the year are $10,000, well, I'm going to take the standard.
Absolutely.
If my itemized deductions are $20,000, I'm going to take my itemized deductions. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big common misconception of, like, do I need to care that I contributed, that I gave to church this year? How do I know what to do? Look at a Schedule A, and you can literally do this without your tax repair. Look at a Schedule A, put in all the numbers, and total it up. If it's more than the standard, you can go ahead and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most tax softwares out there now are really good at this, so they can kind of make the determination for you. But just so you're aware, because everyone's like, what does that even mean when I'm on that page?
Right.
Basically, deductions are there. So itemized versus standard, that's the big thing. Once we know which one it is, then we take our AGI, we subtract our deductions, that gives us our taxable income. This is what is really your taxable income that the IRS needs to say, okay, we're gonna tax you on this much income. So it's not your gross income, it's not your adjusted gross income, it's after your adjustments and deductions, you get to your taxable income, and that's the number that determines your effective tax rate. So the actual rate you pay is based on your taxable income. So there's a lot of charts and different things out there, and the softwares all do it for us. So we just click next and keep going.
Right.
But at the end of the day, your taxable income determines your tax. And so now we know, okay, if my taxable income is this and my taxes are this, now I have the ability, if possible, it's a big if possible, to take tax credits.
So let's talk about those.
So here's where a tax credit is like a child care tax credit, a child adoption credit, an electric vehicle credit is another one in there. There's a few more, but we'll just stay with those for right now. Basically, if you can qualify for a tax credit, think of where we are in order. We've determined our tax. Now we're taking a credit. So it's a dollar for dollar decrease in my taxes. If you can get a tax credit, which typically you have to have lower income to get, but if you can get a tax credit, that's a big tax savings. Unlike before, the deductions that we talked about, those help determine what your taxable income is. So if I paid $10,000 in mortgage interest, I don't actually get a $10,000 deduction in my taxes.
Right.
I get a percentage of that $10,000 saved for taxes.
Okay, so we need to slow that down. That is so good, because how many people come into the office and say, well, this is what I would have and I can write this off, and we're like, no, it's not dollar for dollar in this case.
Correct. So those itemized deductions that we were talking about before, mortgage interest being a huge one, or property taxes, because that's why people say, hey, I'm going to buy a house so I can lower my taxes. It's like, well, hold on a second.
Yep.
Because basically how it works is if I have a deduction, or even gifts to charity. So
you're
giving to church, right? If I give $1,000 to my church this year, I don't get to lower my tax bill by $1,000.
Right.
That's what a tax credit is. If I get a child tax credit of $1,000 for taking care of my kid, I can literally lower my taxes by $1,000. But if I give money to the church and I'm in the 25% bracket, or let's just use that, right?
Right.
The 25% bracket, then I get a 25% discount on my $1,000 I gave to the church. So I hope that makes sense, because that's how it's working. It's a percentage of tax saved, not a dollar for dollar tax saved.
Right.
So here's why I say this. If you're an individual in mm-hmm. a high income tax bracket, so you're up in the 30s and higher.
Okay.
It makes more sense to try to get more deductions because it's a higher percentage that you're saving. Mm-hmm. So higher tax bracket, deductions are more favorable. Lower tax bracket, in the 10% tax bracket, let's say, a credit mm-hmm. is more favorable because it's a dollar for dollar decrease in tax. Rather than saving 10% of that money, mm-hmm. I want to save the whole amount, right? And so if you're in a high tax bracket, deductions typically are better. If you're in a low tax bracket, credits are typically better. And this is where I will say, because we are not CPAs, go to your tax preparer
mm-hmm.
and see which credits and or deductions you qualify for to determine which route would be best for you.
So let's talk a little bit about someone goes to their tax preparer and they say, if you put money in a tax deductible IRA, you'll be able to save money. So how does that work out? Is that a credit? Or is, I know the answer, but I mean,
sure, yeah,
or
no.
Is it a deductible?
It's a great question.
How does that work?
Yeah, so it's actually a deduction, because what you're doing is, in that case, if we're putting money into an IRA or if we put money into our 401k pre-tax,
mm-hmm.
well, I'm deferring my income. So in the eyes of the IRS, I've made less income this year right. if I put that money away.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, if I've made less money, I pay less in taxes. And so it is a tax savings
mm-hmm.
because I'm not taxed on all of my income now, but it's not a dollar for dollar decrease in my taxes either, because I'm not putting that $5,000 in my IRA and getting a tax credit. I'm lowering my income by $5,000, mm-hmm. which is a deduction, so it helps offset my taxes.
And that's why a lot of times people will call our office and they say, I met with my CPA and they said I need to put X amount of dollars in my IRA, and this way I can lower my taxes. But then the next question I get from them is, but if I put $6,000 in, how come my taxes didn't go down by $6,000?
Correct, because it's not a tax credit, it's mm-hmm. a deduction, and it's a percentage of savings. So
right.
if you need to know, and we have a tax projection software that we use in the office mm-hmm. to help determine, you know, those types of things. If I put money away, if I make more deductions this year, or, you know, defer my income, if I do Roth conversions, things like that, we mm-hmm. can help determine, and okay, where does that stand in terms of tax savings?
Right, and that's why I like that software, because we've had individuals come in that say, hey, I just want to know how much income can I pull out of my retirement plans? What will it do for my taxes? Or if I do a Roth conversion, all those different things, we can look and plug and play in the numbers to find out what's the best situation for them.
Yeah, for sure. So once we get to our taxes, after our credits, that determines our total tax. So this is exactly the amount as a United States taxpayer we have to pay to the federal mm-hmm. government. Excuse me, our state taxes do the exact same thing. We have kind of the similar type of approach there. And then we then at that point determine
mm-hmm.
if we're W-2 employees, did we withhold enough? Did the government take enough out of my paycheck to equal my total tax for the year? If I gave the government too much, I get a nice refund.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't give the government enough, I have a payment to make. So this idea of get your billions back, America, the idea of you have to have a CPA to get a refund is not true. You
mm-hmm.
can give the government enough money out of your paycheck and they'll just give it back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's in the form of a tax refund. And so ultimately, once we figure out how much you've withheld from your paycheck, that will determine whether you got a refund or a payment. And if you're self-employed,
mm-hmm.
That obviously doesn't happen because you're not withholding. So mm-hmm. you can do things like estimated tax payments or prepaying taxes that will allow for you to kind of help offset the bill that's coming in April.
Mm-hmm. And next week, I want to talk about, because some people are so excited that, hey, look how much I got back in from the IRS from my taxes. We want to talk about, is that really the best thing to do? Mm-hmm. But I know that we're running out of time, so I want to make sure. Any closing words before we stop?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, let me just run through real fast. So we have income, adjustments to income, which equals our AGI.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have deductions that equals our taxable income, which gives us our tax number, minus credits,
mm-hmm.
gets us our total tax number. And then from there, we determine, did I give enough money or did I not to get that refund or payment? So really, not that hard.
Oh, yeah, not that hard at all. Well, G, thank you so much for walking everyone through
sure.
it, making it seem like it was easy, because we do want them to have confidence.
Yes.
And I want to encourage our listeners and those who are watching us online to please give our office a call at 518-433-7181. We want to come alongside you, make sure you have confidence for every financial decision. We can do our tax and retirement transition plan. We're here here for you. And join us again next week as we continue to provide financial clarity so that you can have confidence for every financial decision. Thank you and God bless.
This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.